all these topics seem now connected, and some, and I changed my presentation due to some talks that I heard in the last 2-3 days. I will start with a definition of structure, rigid structure, which is the composition of cycles of atom, and I will define what is an atom. This is, and I will redefine again what is a surgraph. There are many definitions. I'll go briefly how we see a surgraph in rigidity matrix. I will go through some of the main properties of a surgraph, which can be now called fully sensitive related to loads, also velocities. I would like to mention also why body bars are very important in engineering, and this is the reason why now we have also body bar a surgraph. I will talk whether we should have pinned, actually a surgraph are pinned, whether we should have pinned a surgraph or we can we have floating graph. I will go about a project that we did about geometric constraint problem, which is equivalent to analysis of linkages done for Dassault, and we got interesting results. And nowadays an ongoing project with the community of robotics, we now write, we check rigidity matrix and Jacobian matrix and do the same analysis on both and to compare between them. I will report about it. And the last is one of the main properties, the geometric properties that has a surgraph. A surgraph, although a defined topology, has very unique geometric property, which is the singularity of a surgraph. I will show a deployable, foldable, tensegrity a surgraph that we built. Soft or rigid robots. This is an ongoing project with the zoologist in Israel. It is Professor Ayali, the head of the Department of Zoology. And coming back to whether we can get floating mechanism with finite motion. I will do my best to finish all these topics since they are correlated. So I will start with the definition of cyclic composition of cycles of atoms. So it is easy for me to say atom is, if you take a two-dimension bar and joint, this is an atom. So we will call it 2D bar and joint atom. In body bar, this is atom. In three dimension, this is the output, a vertex with three outgoing edges. In body bar, a 3D body bar, it is a body with six outgoing edges. So what is a surgraph? It is a cycle of atoms that are connected. This is a surgraph. And when you get a rigid structure, it is a composition of these cycles. This type enables us to deal both with bar and joint surgraph and body bar surgraph. Let us take this example. I will follow these examples through different topics in my talk. This is double triad. We call it double triad because there are three circuits of size 2A3 and out 2. So we call it double triad. If we now put here the atoms, you see, we see here 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 atoms. And this, as you can see, this is cycles of atoms. This is one of the reasons why this is a bar and joint surgraph. Let us see body bar surgraph. This is the first time that we are now talking about body bar surgraph. If we ground one of the bodies, we can, by the way, ground any a bar or body, and here we have the bodies, we can see that there is a cycle. So we can go all over the direction of this graph. So this is called, in terminology of the graph theory, the graph is strongly connected or well connected. The same can be applied in 3D. Here we see we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 atoms, and they are connected and they are cycles. They are connected. It is like one for all for one. You cannot connect between them. They are all connected, and this is a group. This is the reason why this is a fully sensitive structure. I will go to through one of the main definition of, actually the original definition of a subgraph, and there are more, and there are three, and there are much more papers published it till now. So the main definition of a subgraph, it is topology. It is pinned isostatic graph, and it does not contain any proper pinned isostatic graph. That's it. The same can be, it is in 2D, 3D, and actually in any dimension. You see, this one is a subgraph. This one is not. Why? Because it contains this proper pinned isostatic it contains. So this is not a subgraph. It consists of actually two a subgraph. This one is a subgraph. So the definition is topology. But at the end of this talk, I will show you geometric properties. Now let us go to one of the characterization that can be seen through the rigidity matrix. The decomposition of rigidity matrix into lower block triangulation is important in kinematics and statics. So if you take a rigidity matrix and you succeed to arrive to lower block deangularization, each block is a subgraph. And if it is a subgraph, you cannot have different blocks. You have only one block. It is if and only if. Actually, this rigidity matrix, the blocks, enables you to show the influence of every load and its effect, its zone effect. So, for example, if we apply a force, let's say here, will it affect this one? What do you think? You understand? I apply here a load. Will it affect joint I? Yes? Good. So I succeeded. We see F goes here. Now, it affects here. It affects now F, E. E affects D and affects C. This one goes here and swap all this structure and go to C and D. No one affects this part. This is one of the reasons why, for example, Thibault showed yesterday, the influence is very important, and I could show you it is. You want to apply a force, and you want to see where it goes. And it is very difficult for engineering. And this is the reason why that we are seeking so much this type of properties. By the way, I can do the same with velocities. If I remove an edge, I can ask you which joints are now mobile or not. So the rigidity matrix gives you all this information. And that the composition to this block is done automatically by the pebble gun. So actually we have it. We don't have to do nothing, only to use what is done. Another project I will go briefly is we did for Dassault. We asked, suppose you have a geometric constraint and you want to change one of the dimensions where it will affect. It is actually the same. And there was an optimization problem, but the same idea goes. Okay, this one, if you change the dimension here, I'm not talking now about force dimension. In geometric constraint, it affects here. It goes here, goes here. And now you say, okay, where I want to now change and to cause minimal changes. So we can say another definition, that a subgraph in 2D is a pinned isostatic graph, that if we apply external force or a load at any vertex, we have forces in all the edges. You see, if I apply a force here, it will not affect here. It disregards. If I apply here, yes. This one is a subgraph, So of course, wherever I apply the external force, there will be forces in all the links, in all the edges. In 3D, of course, this is not so easy. And in 3D, we have, let's say, passive edges, and we can see it here. This edge is passive because it does not contribute when you have external force. So we decided to call this type of graph weakly DSU. And on the other way around, we can say that if we remove it, the it remains, this joint does not move, this vertex does not move. So in engineering, we call it, this causes passive motion. And one of the observations about double banana is a passive motion that there exists. Why body bar are important in engineering? This is why the reason now we have body bar SUGAF. You see, these three types of linkages are, from the viewpoint of mechanical engineering, the same. Because this is rigid body, this is rigid body, everyone has the same angular velocity, we don't have to deal with it. So of course, body bar is much more efficient and easy. But sometimes, for example, in this linkage, you should use bar and joint. And when you do analysis in structures, you should use bar and joint. So it's good that you have here and also body bar. Actually, the importance of body bar is when you can deal with every linkage in 3D. This is extended groupler in 3D. Here it is minus five hinges. This is a restricted spherical joint. This is a non-spherical joint, the pin joint, the revolo joint, and gear pair. Even gear pair. The groupler, the body bar can deal with every system. I asked my engineer to draw a picture. This one, you see, you have here a connection which is called the lower turning pair, which is a friction, but at a point. So no problem. You just put one edge, one constraint, and you can do everything. Now you decompose it to body bar, so up and analyze it. So, of course, body bar is very important. Now about pinned flow, actually the definition of isostatic ASU graph, bar and joint is pinned, as I defined before, it is pinned isostatic graph that does not contain a proper pinned isostatic graph. Interesting to know, so for example this one, you see this is a tetrad, we will come to it again in 5-10 minutes. So here, this is a pinned isostatic graph. But as Thibault found, this one is fully sensitive. Why? Because it is floating ASU graph. It is floating bar and joint ASU graph. If you ground any edge, you will receive this tetrad. Actually, there is floating isostatic graph. Actually, Thibault found it. If you take triangles, or we call it dyad composition, and here only one ASU graph, then you will get floating bar and joint ASU graph. It is interesting, if you take rigidity circuit and split a vertex, you will get floating ASU graph. But body bar ASU graph, it is very interesting to notice that they are defined floating. Any grounding, if you choose any, the body bar ASU graph, grounding any body or any bar will result a pinned body bar ASU graph. And another interesting observation, now that we have body bar ASU graph, is all of them from what is the original graph. We know that all ASU graphs, bar and joint ASU graphs, are derived from the dyad, the vertex with two edges. The body bar derived also from something that is similar to the dyad, it is a triangle. all the body bars are derived from this original graph. I will skip about this geometric constraint problem. I wanted only to show we did it for Dassault. Actually, it shows, if someone who understands this material, see that geometric constraint problem and analysis of mechanism is the same. The same software can be done. You see, we decompose it. We decompose here, the same decomposition. Now we start to build it, to construct it. The same process as an analysis of mechanism, and it was was to prove that it can, the same software that do the analysis of mechanism can be applied to geometric constraint. This is something that is very easy. About the dimension, the effect, this was something that is new. So you see, the analysis of mechanism is the same as the geometric constraint problem, nothing new. We decompose it to a Assur graph, analyze it, each Assur graph, and we come back. Now that we have rigidity matrix, we want now to understand how it relates to other topics in engineering. This is done with Professor Muller from Germany. The idea is now to take mechanism in 2D and 3D, to analyze them through rigidity matrix and through Jacobian matrix, and to see the difference, and moreover, to fertilize between these two methods. Second, to come to common terminology between these two communities. And this idea came, we introduced a paper in last ASME conference, and Adnan was there, and we got a very good response. And now people from this community would like to know more about what is going on, because, for example, the decomposition into a Assur graph is very important. Usually they spend a lot of time to build a software for this, and Pebble Game gives it by itself. So we start to examine it, to understand the difference and so on. Preliminary results indicate, for example, that rigidity matrix has problems to deal with floating sliders. This is not critical, for example, if you want to analyze this type and the slider is floating. It is a little bit a problem, but we overcome it, and for now, not something critical. The last, as I promised, is I would like to talk about the geometric property that every Assur graph has, the singularity. The singularity of Assur graph and its application. This topic is rely on the paper that was published in 2010. And the theorem in this paper says as follows. If it is an Assur graph, it is if and only if there is a configuration in which there is a unique self-stress on all the edges and all the inner vertices have 1 degree of freedom, infinitesimal motion. You see, this one, as we learned, is not an Assur graph. Now try to find a configuration where there will be one self-stress on all the edges and all the inner vertices are mobile with 1 degree. So this is fine, but this is not mobile. So, okay, let us try to locate it here. Okay, but now you have actually 2 independent self-stress and actually you have also 2 degrees of freedom. Okay, so this is not good. So let us try like this. No, but this is not mobile. So usually we give it to our students at the first class and say, okay, try. The one who will find it will get a good bonus. And they try, and they try. And it is impossible because of the theorem. But it gives the students understanding about the geometry, that there is a topology that contains a unique geometric theorem. We applied this about on this theorem. We built several practical working systems. The first one is deployable foldable consecutive Yasur graph. Now, this is something not usual. We take the Yasur graph at the singular position. It has self stress. So now what we do, we put cable and studs. And this is tensegrity. But it is tensegrity only at the singular position. So it is good. Why? Because if you want that it will be loose, you take it out. You lose one of the cables and it's gone and it is loose and it is not rigid. You want that it will be rigid? Push the cable till it reaches the singular position. For example, let us do. You see, we take the triad. When it is at the singular position, then you have three cables, three studs. It can sustain. It has infinitesimal motion. It is fine, infinitesimal motion. But it is rigid, and we can apply on it forces, and it works. So the idea is, if you have to come to the singular position, you shorten the cable till it reaches the singular position, and now you can apply force and so on. It is not theoretical. This was built. This theorem exists in three dimensions, although it was not proved, but it exists because we built it. And this device can deploy, fold, and change the configuration. There is no such device, as we know till now in the world, that can do this type. There is another very important property. All this type of tensegrity, cable-driven, suffer from the main problem of control. Usually, tensegrity is overbraced. So try to control the indeterminate, the overbraced element. It's very complicated. Here, it is fully sensitive. If you have a force, if you want to change, it's in all the structures. So you have to control only one element. Only one element we have to control, and actually this is the reason why you can jump from the soft to the rigid structure. And there is another theorem which is very easy to prove, that it is enough to take a through graph and to enter to the singular position by changing only one link. In this case, shortened. And nowadays we came to a new type of work that I was not aware about it, simulation of animal robots. We are working with the head of the Department of Zoology, and he found out that the main property that we want to, when we want to simulate animals, is that they are loose and soft. What does it mean, loose and rigid? What does it mean, rigid? Self-stress. You want to lose? Take it out of the singular position. And one of the properties that it is fully sensitive, and actually we did a caterpillar. There is a very nice animation, but I don't know how to manipulate it. But this is a caterpillar, and actually there are a lot of interesting phenomena in biology, and a lot of work is now being done in this field. The last topic, and I will finish, is from, as Walter mentioned, there is possibility to go up to floating mechanisms. The idea is do it in three steps. Characterize the singularity of the Yasur graph. This is done systematically, very nice. There is a combinatorial method. Transform the infinitesimal motion into finite motion. This is not systematic yet. And do the replication. I'll give you an example. For example, let us go back to the tetrad. The tetrad, the singular position here, I came to your paper, Henry, and Walter from 82. How we do, actually, when there is a self-stress, when it is a projection of polyhedron, and we have very nice algorithm that we jump, and it is related to Maxwell phase force. For example, if we if we want to characterize a singular, we jump to 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. So this phase is defined by the singularity will be the three points are collinear. This is related to your paper, your works, and we used a phase force, but it is actually dual of Kennedy term. It's a very nice methodology there is. It is very easy to characterize the singularity. So we have infinitesimal motion, I must admit. Only infinitesimal motion. Now what would we do? We add sliders, and sometimes we have to do more calculation. And so, for example, here I do the self-stress. Now here it has a finite motion. Now we start the replication, and we result with finite motion. And I brought also toes. This is a precondition here. You see, this is the rod, the floating mechanism. By the way, it is very important type of mechanism. Why? Because it is overbraced. And if we have this type of mechanism, now we can do it in spherical. All the robots that do surgery are spherical robots. So this can be done in spherical, and it is very rigid. And we want that the mechanism will be rigid. This is actually, we can remove four links, and it will be that will do the same motion. So let us take the last example, double triad. The characterization is the same. We do the jump, the two jumps, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. That's it. We characterize the singular position. You see 1, 2, it is mean that 9 and 7 intersected point. This jump of 2 is 1 and 3, means this point. And the last one, 1, 2, is that 4 and 6 intersect at the point. These three points should be collinear. Then we are proved that it is at the singular position. There is a self-stress, and by the way, it is enough. If there is a self-stress, there is infinitesimal motion in all the inner joints. By the way, the other way is not trivial. If there is 1 degree of freedom in all the inner vertices, it doesn't guarantee that there is a unique self-stress. But if we have a self-stress, we know that there is infinitesimal motion. So what we have now to do, we have now to, first we build the singular position, we find the infinitesimal motion, and put sliders. Sliders gives us another property to give the finite motion. Once we have the finite motion, we can replicate and get this floating mechanism, and we are done. And of course, we can build it. Overbraced again 4 times. The number of replication, it is 4 times overbraced. And although it has finite motion on time. Thank you.